are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here on the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. On today's show, it is June 21st, 2021. We discuss the College World Series pass action from this weekend. Everybody has played one game to this point, so we'll break down the weekend's results. Also, we'll discuss Big 12 players in the NBA and the U.S. Open, which both happened this past week. Well, the NBA playoffs obviously still ongoing, but U.S. Open happened this week. There were some Big 12 golfers in the mix. We'll discuss the event and how everybody finished and how the Big 12 guys looked in this tournament as well. So a whole lot to get to on today's show. Okay, we must start first with the College World Series, and we're going to work backwards here because the games that mattered to us, the game that mattered to us here in the Big 12 Conference, was the last game to be played last night. It was the last game of the first round of the College World Series. Texas-Mississippi State. Texas loses 2-1 in a really close game, and now they see themselves go into the loser's bracket. But this was a difficult game for them. I thought Ty Madden was really sharp, 7 innings, 4 hits, 10 Ks, 2 walks, does surrender 2 runs in the game, and that was the difference because Texas only mustered 1, a late rally in the game. But Ty Madden was strong throughout. In the top of the 4th inning, walked a batter, gave up a single, and then there was a sacrifice that scored 1, and then a triple that scored another. So those 2 runs there, and Texas really was not able to muster much offense. They got 4 hits across the entire day. They had an error as well, scoring 1 run. They were able to get a solo home run from Mike Antico in the ninth inning. And they also put some traffic on the base paths in the ninth, too. They got a couple guys on, or one guy on at least, in the ninth inning, and they were able to, Ivan Melendez got a single, but they were not able to drive him in. They ended up getting 1st and 3rd, and were not able to capitalize off that with 2 outs. So they put the pressure on, but they're not able to get the job done. So Texas falls 2-1 in that first game. I would be remiss if I did not mention the pitching of Will Bednar, who was fantastic yesterday. 6 innings, 1 hit allowed, 15 Ks, 1 walk. Now, he only was able to go 6 innings, and that was because that pitch count ran up there to 108. And when you're a strikeout guy like that, and also Ty Madden, you know, to some extent had to deal with this too, you know, the strikeout count is going to run your pitch count up. It's just always the way it works. But he was fantastic. Once again, 15 Ks through 6 innings. And then Sims comes in, gets the save for them, strikes out 6 in 3 innings. 21 Ks across the board. Texas approach has to change as they head into the loser's bracket. Who will they play? They will face Tennessee. As we work backwards through the day yesterday, UVA comes out. Once again, they're one of those teams that did not play great in the regular season. Seems like the two ACC teams struggled at times during the regular season, but have turned it on in the tournament. UVA wins 6-0 over Tennessee yesterday in the first game on Sunday. For UVA, the story for them was the pitching of Andrew Abbott. He gave them 6 shutout innings yesterday to start off that game, and that really set the tone for UVA. They were able to score 1 in the 3rd, 4 in the 7th, and 1 in the 9th to win this game. But Abbott gave them 6 innings of 5-hit, no-run ball with 10 Ks and only 2 walks. He was able to hand it off, and they were able to shut things down the rest of the way. Their offense, once again, like I said, was able to get the job done and scoring in a multitude of ways. They used a home run, a couple singles as well. So kind of the all-around game for UVA, getting the job done there. They advance. They will take on Mississippi State in the winner's bracket, too. You move now one more day back to June 19th. This was on Saturday. This was the game of the tournament so far. Vanderbilt 7, Arizona 6 in what was a back-and-forth affair. Kumar Rocker really wasn't that good, to be honest. Five and two-thirds, five hits, 3 earned runs, 7 Ks. Now, it's not, you know, horrible, 3 runs and 5 and two-thirds by any standards, but for his standards, that's, you know, not really a great start. And we know Arizona's offense, they bring the thump, and they were able to do that and keep up in this game. They hit Vanderbilt early with 3 runs in that game. Vandy was able to even it up in the 4th inning. Arizona struck back for 2 in the 6th, but Vandy answered with 3 in the 7th And then Arizona got one in the ninth to tie things up. And then we went to the 12th inning late on, I think it was actually in the wee hours of Saturday morning or Sunday morning rather. And they were able to get a walk-off in this game for Vanderbilt. It was pretty cool to see, pretty pumped up. And look, you know, it's the College World Series is a great event. This game went really long, but to see them get fired up, you know, and see Vanderbilt win that game, maybe starts to make you think that they are going to do it again. They are still defending their crown from the 2019 season, and Jason Gonzalez's walk-off has them on their way in a good position to potentially do that again. What was an instant classic, really fun game. Arizona's got to clear their minds and find a way to move forward. Then the first game, I was pretty surprised here. NC State 10, Stanford 4, and NC State was able to bring the bats out. You know, gets pretty good pitching from Stanford. And for the most part, once again, NC State's pitching was really solid. Evan Justice, when they give him the ball and a lead, it's usually lights out. Three inning save for him, a 9-out save, gets the job done 10-4. And he came in, it was a save situation when he came in the seventh. They added three more runs. Stanford got three in that inning, so Evan Justice comes into the game at that point. It is a closer game at that point. It is 7-4, 6-4. So Evan Justice comes in a two-run game. They give him some more run support in the ninth. That's all she wrote, so they'll advance on to the next games. Today we've got two coming up. Arizona plays Stanford at 2 o'clock, and then NC State versus Vanderbilt. That one is at 7 p.m. Eastern. So those are your two games. Stanford, Arizona, it's a loser leaves town match. And then obviously NC State and Vanderbilt is a winner's bracket match. And then you've got tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Tennessee versus Texas, another loser leaves town match. That's a very exciting game between Tony Vitello's Tennessee Volunteers and the Texas Longhorns, the Mississippi State and UVA in a winner's bracket match. I think those two teams have played before in a recent College World Series. So yeah, really fun weekend of college baseball mixed in with all of the other things happening in the world of sports. We'll talk about them in a second, but first, a word from our sponsors. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by our friends at betonline.ag. You guys know the deal. This weekend was one of the great times to bet if you were a sports betting fan. We got the Euro. We've got the NBA playoffs. We have got UFC. We have got NBA. We have got College World Series. All that and a lot more. You can find all the lines, odds, contests that your heart could possibly desire. If you guys go to betonline.ag today, you can sign up on any device that you have. You can use your iPhone, your iPad, your computer, whatever it is that suits you. You can go there today and sign up at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, locked on, and you'll receive a 50% deposit bonus. That's right, 50% deposit bonus for you on the weekend or whenever you do it if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, online sportsbook experts. All right, so this weekend we also had the U.S. Open, which is golf's most difficult major. This one saw John Rahm, Arizona State Sun Devil fame, go on to win the tournament. It is his first major, and I thought he was composed. He had a couple times this week where things got rough, but if you remember, John Rahm a couple weeks ago had a 6-shot lead going into the final round of a Memorial tournament and was had to be removed because of COVID. So John Rahm gets removed with a 6-shot lead. He's going to go on to win that tournament and then has to leave the tournament because of COVID. And it was really difficult for him. And now he comes back in his next event and ends up winning a major championship, his first major championship. He is the world's number one, and he proved it this week against a field of a lot of the big names came creeping up there. Brooks Koepka was up there. Obviously, Louis Oosthuizen finishes in second. Colin Morikawa was up there. Brendan Grace and Daniel Berger, guys, you know, you've heard. And Xander Schauffele, Scottie Scheffler, Rory was up there. And then our guy, Matthew Wolf, was close. Really, the Big 12 guy that I thought the most, you know, the best chance at one point to win, and he came up short. He had a difficult day. A Saturday, too, he was kind of all over the place, and that parlayed into Sunday, too. He was not the most consistent golfer in the world, but in terms of Big 12, he was a best finisher, and I think if he can get some more of that consistency, he's going to be a guy that we see in a lot more of you know these situations to win. But he shoots a 74 in the final round. The day before, he shot a 73. And really, the first 2 days, he shoots a 68. And then day one, he shot a 70. So he was in good shape in the first few days, but the weekend got to him, as it got to so many other guys out there on the course. A fellow Big 12-man and Texas Longhorn Jordan Spieth shoots a 2-over. He had a couple nice rounds, but he started off with a 77, which put him in a bad spot. So he had to shoot a 69 and a 68 to get himself back towards any kind of respectable score. And then really, there weren't a whole lot of other Big 12 guys who made too many waves this weekend. It was a difficult course. It was playing tough. Obviously, the USGA likes to toughen up courses as well, but John Rahm gets it done. And not a lot of the Big 12 guys, and there's a lot of them, not a lot of them came out and, impressed. But Matthew Wolff was there, so we got to give him some props on this weekend. Also, next thing we got to get to, the NBA. This weekend, my friends, the NBA, spectacular fun weekend. It began on Friday night, and I was talking about this working on Saturday morning with Dan Dockich. Terrence Mann in the game six for the Clippers goes for 39 points. A guy who stayed 4 years at Florida State, and you know this is the age of one and dones, and I believe a lot of those, a lot of one and dones. There are a lot of guys who are smart, right? There's no reason Cade Cunningham should stay in college, but there's a lot of guys who can benefit from that time with certain coaches. And I guarantee you, at a place like, at a place like Florida State, he learned to play the right way. He learned through a lot of tough practices, I'm sure. But he was a player that didn't start much in his first couple years at Florida State. I'm not even sure if he started at all there. And so for him to come on like that just shows you that, I don't think something changed for him between college and now. I think the experience that he gained in college, kind of just playing 4 years in a tough conference, I think it's going to be true for Big 12 guys, prepares you, for that level, especially in a place like FSU. I mean, practice every single day. You're going up against basically the most athletic team in the country, essentially year in and year out. That's going to prepare you very well. But, I think that that's something that also during like recruiting visits and whatnot, you hear talked about. And I think sometimes we got to think about players that need to stay and need that extra time. And it does benefit them, because I do think there is an overrating in the NBA, especially of having guys be too old. Like this year, Greg Brown's 19 years old. I think a year under Chris Beard would do him a lot of good. And we talked about this, something that Fran Fraschilla has mentioned time in and time out, is that, guys like him, he's not really a basketball player yet. He's not really, he plays basketball and he's good at it, but like he's not a player yet. He doesn't own the game. The game doesn't come to him in a very easy way. And so for that guy to go to the league, we've talked about it so much in the show, he needs to go to the right situation. That's really what he needs. The correct place is going to be so important for a guy like him. It's going to matter so much. And then, if you talk about Terrence Mann, like that guy, put him on any team, now he's on the team with the Los Angeles Clippers, would have found his way into rotation no matter what because of the talents that he has, skill that he has. And no, he's not a 39-point guy who's going to do it repeatedly. But that's a guy that plays a lot of good defense. That's why he's on the court. That's why he earned his way there. And then end up just performing from there and hitting his shots and getting the job done. And I think that toughness 100%, is a big reason why they have made it this far. All right, one more quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the rest of the things happening in the NBA, because some Big 12 players were involved in the biggest games that happened this weekend, especially on Saturday night and into Sunday as well. But first, a word from our sponsors. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best-tasting, best-for-you protein bar in the game today. They've got 9 flavors right now at BuiltBar.com. Coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar as well, and 4 grams of net carbs. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off on your first order today. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, LOCKED15 for 15% off today at BuiltBar.com. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com has thousands of parts from hundreds of manufacturers. You can go to rockauto.com today and sort through all that. I'm sure whatever you need, you can find there, and also at a better price as well. Why spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from chain stores. It's only $216 at rockauto.com. Go explore their easy-to-use website to find a solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. That way, they know we sent you. Amazing selection, always low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. All right, so the big story of the weekend was the, in my opinion, the Sixers and Hawks series, and then also the Bucks and Nets giving us instant classic. So we had the Sixers win to force a game seven on the Friday night game. So just kind of put that one to the side, because obviously Trae Young and Joel Embiid are the two Big 12 guys that we're really looking at there with those games. But I want to talk about the Saturday night game between the Bucks and the Nets. This was an instant classic. It was back and forth. And Chris Middleton, also, who we count as a Big 12 guy because he played in the Big 12 during his time at A&M, he had a really, really difficult game. P.J. Tucker was obviously tasked with guarding Kevin Durant. That's always a really not fun night. And also Kevin Durant, Big 12 guy, 53 minutes, 48 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, a block. I mean, this guy did it all. And to watch him go out there, you know, I know Kevin Durant goes to he gets himself to Brooklyn, and they want to add guys around him. And for them, unfortunately, it didn't work out this year because of the injuries. And, you know, those guys, like, I think it would have worked out. I think they were in the process of proving that you don't necessarily have to play together all the time to get a feel for each other to win, because at full strength, I still think that team is just way too good, despite the fact they haven't played much actual basketball together. But Durant kind of had to do it on his own. Harden was out there as a decoy. Really just poor performance from him. But, I mean, he was kind of a sitting duck. A lot of times that you would see James Harden push the ball, he wouldn't push it in those situations. And it was all on the shoulders of Kevin Durant. He delivered to the best of his ability the last few nights, but this night especially. And I'm sure you guys saw him hit that shot at the buzzer. If his feet is his foot is about 3 inches, 2 inches maybe, further back than it was, it's a whole different situation. Mike Budenholzer is probably not the Bucks coach at this point in time. The Nets are most likely, now it's not 110%, but the Nets are most likely in to the next round of the playoffs. The Bucks are going home. It's going to be Nets and Hawks at that point, Kevin Durant versus Trae Young. But it did not pan out that way, and it was a two. And they go to overtime, a really horrible overtime period where 8 points total were scored. Brooklyn only got 2 points, and bad shooting by the end from Kevin Durant. In the end, from Kevin Durant, but still, it was so much fun to watch him perform. And really, I don't think there's any argument at this point. At his best, when he's out there, you know, when all things are equal, Kevin Durant's the best player in basketball right now. He's probably the best player in the league for the last 3 or 4 years when he is healthy. You know, game on the line, game seven, who do you want out there for you? Kevin Durant. And the reasons are the diverse scoring that he has. The ability to also, you know, he's a pretty decent passer as well. His size, I mean, he's 6'10", but he's, you know, in shoes, he's probably 7 feet tall. And his talent level is just off the charts. And he's refined that talent. Great scorer at Texas, but he's just refined everything so much. And also, shout out to P.J. Tucker, too. They told the story that P.J. Tucker was actually the person that was tasked with showing KD around on his official visit to Texas, which I think is pretty funny because KD and PJ went at it for this entire playoff series. And I'm sure you guys saw a good moment between KD's mom and PJ Tucker where she said, "This is football." And PJ said, "I love you." And Wanda Durant said, "I love you too," which was, I thought, was a great moment. And it's cool to see those two Longhorns going at it. Different paths to this point, for sure, for PJ Tucker and Kevin Durant, different kinds of players, but cool to see two Big 12 guys like that getting the job done. All right, moving on. Other Big 12 guys, we got to talk about Hawks 76ers, 103-96. The Hawks win. You know, I think people are saying the process is dead, but just from a Big 12 standpoint, we'll get that in a second. The Big 12 standpoint, Embiid goes for 31 and 11 in game seven. They just didn't help him out enough. You know, this team is not constructed, I think, well enough. And as good as Seth Curry was, you know, Tobias Harris struggled at times, 24 and 14 last night. It was 8 of 24. This team was not built, in my opinion, to really assist in a meaningful way. And, you know, at no point did it feel like this team really gelled as a whole. I'm not a huge Doc Rivers guy, to be honest. And I think we saw, you know, the cracks in the armor, the reasons why. And look, at home, they were just not able to shake the Hawks. I thought at halftime, you know, it was, they were down 2, I think, at halftime. And I was like, man, they can do this. They just have to put their foot down. And look, credit to the Hawks. They played good defense. Trae Young, 5 for 23, 21 and 10. And the fact they still won that game speaks to a couple things. One, how well the team is coached. Two, how well it's constructed. And three, the fact that they still had confidence in him. And he hit a really clutch late shot, deep three, to seal the deal. And Trae Young, I love this about him because Kevin Durant, it's not like we're learning things about Kevin Durant as we see it. It's more reaffirmation of what we already knew about him being a great player. Trae Young is starting to show the signs of being a great player, and that is, you know, if you don't succeed, try again. But, like, you know, he never loses his edge. It always seems like Trae, no matter how many misses, is always ready and always believes that next one's going to go in. And the turnover numbers for him are high, I know that. But for him to keep it up in this game, to always be dangerous and ready to go, and for him to hit that late shot, as bad as he was in the totality of the game, shout out to Kevin Huerter for keeping them in, and Gallinari as well. I don't think you can minimize how important that confidence is. So to see Trae Young to be the best player on a team going to the conference finals at this point in his career is something that's really exciting, I think, for people who have followed him. And by all accounts, once again, a really great guy, a Norman, Oklahoma guy. And to see him make this point, to see, you know, multiple Big 12 players in the conference finals, especially in the Eastern Conference, very exciting for us to see that happen. But Trae at just 22 becoming this guy. I mean, he's only 22 years old, born in 1998. So he's still got a lot of growth to do. I mean, once again, think about it. In 3 years from now, he's still going to be just 25 years old. You know, they say your athletic prime really is around the age of 28. I would just say that, you know, like that being 6 years off, I would just say, hey, he's probably going to win at least one MVP. You know, he's 6 years out from being kind of the best version physically of himself. I know he's not a big guy, but he is continuing to improve from the mental aspect of the game and from the physical aspect as well. So those two teams, the Hawks and the Bucks, will meet in the conference finals in the Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference finals, we have the Suns and the Clippers, and not a whole lot of Big 12 influence on these teams. We've got, obviously, Marcus Morris, who had a really rough game one. But that's a guy that you kind of point to from the beginning and say, oh, yeah, that's a Big 12 guy that we're going to see. And the rest of the way, too, there really isn't a whole lot of Big 12 influence on many of these teams. Safe to say that the Eastern Conference Finals is much more intriguing from a Big 12 perspective than the West Coast, Western Conference Finals. All right, that will do it for today's show. Coming up this week on the show, too, we've got Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC. We're going to discuss playoff expansion coming up tomorrow. And Stephen Simcox, who just had his kid last week. And shout out to him. And also shout out to Gabe Eicher, too, my colleague at SiriusXM, former OU center, just had his baby as well. So babies everywhere in the Big 12 right now. But Stephen Simcox will come on later this week. We'll touch on playoff expansion with him from the TCU perspective, and also we'll discuss some college baseball too. So busy week coming up here on the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at @LOBig12. You can follow me at @JoshNeighbors_. Until next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.